So I am really super excited. I can't tell you how excited I am to be having this conversation, this interview with Susan Ann. Let me remember how to say your name. Stoffer.
Stoffer, yes.
Stoffer. Okay. A is different. Susan Ann Stoffer. Because Susan Ann has just, she's been working with the Crone for just so long. And when I first met her, which was just over a year ago, I was just absolutely amazed that, you know, there was somebody who had such knowledge and wisdom and had researched as well, because she's done her PhD on Crone, or Crone's Council. And so I'm just going to, I've sent you already the short bio that I have, but I'm going to say it again for you so that it's fresh in your mind. Okay. So Susan Ann has been, she's embraced and studied the Crone archetype for around 30 years, which is incredible, isn't it? And she's done this academically, professionally, and personally. The Crone has been the orienting principle of her life for some time, and it guides, the Crone guides her thought processes and her actions in the world. Her PhD is in gerontological social work, and her doctoral dissertation was called this, it's so amazing, Crone's Council, a unique model. Excuse me, for revisioning the aging experience and creating empowerment-oriented community among elder women. Now, that might sound quite long, but it's really so powerful and so needed, you know, just like really what we're about anyway, and what Susan Ann's work is about in the world too. So from that, I believe, but I might be wrong, Crone's Council, which was a national 501c3. Oh, that muting did it. Catherine, I'm muting you. Everybody should be muted anyway. So Crone's Council was in existence for 30 years, and it closed in 2022. But Susan Ann and seven other amazing women have, they've been working together to create this new organization, which is called Crone Awakening Wisdom, and that's launched, it launched this month. Oh no, it's launching in February. Suddenly, I thought we were in February. It's launching in February this year, in just a short while. So, Susan Ann, is there, do you have a link for that already? Is that
Yeah,
released yet?
it's www.croneawakeningwisdom.org. Now they're still kind of working on the website, and some people are only getting into it with croneawakeningwisdom.wildapricot.org, because apricot, wild apricot, is the platform. So yeah, you should be able to get into it by one of those directions.
Brilliant. And we'll also include that link with the replay as well, so people can get into it there. Yeah, and what we're going to be talking about is aging is no accident, arise and become wise. So wonderful. And really want to welcome you today, Susan Ann, and thank you so much for coming and bringing this to our platform. Because I know that I, you know, I just can't, I can't wait to hear what, you know, what you're going to share with us about this, and just tapping into doctoral dissertation work, all that research, all of the experience you've had is amazing. 30 years of Crone Council, just fantastic. So let's dive into this topic. Aging is no accident. Well, we know we can't avoid it, but you know, it's happening to us. Arise and become wise. I love this. And one place to start off perhaps is to consider to think about how we might think of aging in terms of is it a blessing or is it a curse, or is it a pleasure or is it a plight or something that is just awful for us. So, from your Crone's Council wisdom, what is your perspective on this?
Oh, well, I'm just going to give a little bit of background really quickly on growing up, because when I say arise and be wise, and I grew up, I was my parents adopted me when they were 46 years old. So that's two generations ahead. And they were both the youngest women or the youngest in their families. And I don't know. So I just feel like from a very, very young age, I knew that older people knew something that was important to know. And my father used to take me around the block when I was a young girl, and he'd say, "We're going to go visit Mrs. So and so, and because she just lost her husband, and we're going to go visit da 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 da." And I can remember one day walking down the street and with my dad, and an older couple walked by, and he said, and he shook his finger at me, which he never did. And he said, "Don't you ever wait for an older person to speak to you. You speak first." So I learned that respect for elderhood and wisdom right from the very beginning. So remind me your question one more time. Got off on a little tangent there.
Yeah, and that's so interesting what you just shared. So the question was, is aging a blessing or is it a curse?
Yeah. So I've studied Jung a lot, and Carl Jung, who said that there had to be a purpose for us to be living to 70 or 80 years old, and that the afternoon of human life must have some significance, or we wouldn't have this longevity. So it's interesting because I think the more we know about the aging experience and the more we embrace it, we begin to, I mean, feel like it is more of a blessing than it is a curse. But our culture doesn't, I mean, it keeps asking us to whiten our teeth and color our hair and all those things that, get a facelift, that tell us that aging isn't something we want to be. And I just think there is huge evolutionary significance in why is it the entire world is graying? It's not just the United States of America that has added 30 years of life onto the lifespan. The whole world is experiencing this graying phenomenon. So we could say, oh, the reason that we're aging is because we have better health and we have all the world's wisdom traditions at our fingertips, and we have all this, body technologies to keep our bodies strong and the brain mind science. But if I look at it teleologically, meaning if I look at the purpose behind all of that, I really think that elder people have one fundamental task to do for the culture, and that is to carry the wisdom function, to speak for it, to protect it, and to preserve it, and to carry it forward for future generations. So I think it's an imperative that we embrace this 30-year gift that we have. And I'll just say one more thing. When I taught the course on aging, gerontology at the college, I would always ask the students that question. The very first question, is it a blessing or a curse? And most of them, of course, they're, in their 20s or 30s, would say they thought it was a curse. And I said, well, I hope that by the end of the semester, you'll have a different feeling. And most of them did, because it really is kind of a both and, depending on how you look at it. So I don't know. I'm curious to hear what everybody else would say too.
Yeah, well, we'll certainly get people joining in with this later on. And what you're saying there is so interesting because not only does our culture see aging as a curse, but because of that, I feel, when we come together as eldering people, we can feel that sense of purpose, perhaps. But often, when we're by ourselves and just maybe struggling with our everyday lives, or there's the isolation that happens as we get older to more and more people, that isolation sort of makes you look in the mirror. I'm speaking quite personally now as well, and I just feel, I think, oh, I feel the weight of aging upon me, not in what I look like, but that, I'm racing towards the final breath, so to speak, and it feels like a weight. And I'm sure that that is because of the way that we the cultures do not appreciate aging at all.
Wow. Yeah, the weight, that's and I think that what I would say to that is this is why when people will say to me, as a gerontologist, what would you say about aging? And I always say, prepare, prepare, prepare. And when you speak of that isolation, it is our job. It is part of what is going to be really important as we age, is to not be isolated, to do what you're doing here, Allison, getting us together. And because it is going to be our peer relationships that are going to be the most important. They're the ones that are going to help take that. It's not going to be our children. It's not going to be our parents, maybe our siblings, because they're the longest relationship we have if they still live. But to really prepare and to get that intergenerational thing going. Like for every person who's older, you need to have two or three people who are at least 15 years younger than you are. So they can take the garbage out. They can put the Christmas tree lights up, when that all happens. So yeah, that isolation and the weight, and I think that if we become more visible, if we determine that we are going to be visible and be role models, that fear of aging is going to lessen. I mean, because what we see in the culture too is that the fear of aging is happening younger and younger, at least in American culture. I know you have people, it's happening younger and younger. But if we really, if people really, I mean, stepped into being visible, Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who's written a lot about the crone and the dangerous old woman, says, if you're invisible, do something about
I love that. That's so amazing. That's brilliant. I there's this television program that is on that I'm pretty much addicted to, and this really is so relevant because what it makes me think of all the time is mainly people who are over 60, and they have just abandoned the UK and they've all moved to this crazy part of Spain, and they've just created these communities in these caravan parks, and they all are looking sort of like flamboyant, and it's just like they have embraced life and they have created their community and they have said no to the values of society. And I think that there's something so powerful in that. I'm not there yet, but I'm taking notes on their visibility, that you said and Clarissa Pinkola Estes says. And that brings me into the next question, which is this aging as a time of great gathering. So what do you mean when you say that?
Wow, yeah, it's I think because when we look at the archetype of the crone, one of the things that the organization I was a part of didn't look at the crone as a twin trinity. We looked at the crone as a quaternity, and that is partly because we are living longer. So if we have put maiden, mother, matriarch, and crone. For that stage where we're not yet old, but we're not still young either. And so the harvest, if you look at spring, summer, fall, winter, in that for, at like the seasons of our lives, this season right now is a season of autumn, of harvest, where we get to harvest all the fruits of our lives. We get to sort, we get to integrate, we get to take it all in. What it's kind of like that stage where we look more towards quality rather than quantity in our life. What is the meaning? It's not so much about doing as it is we're starting to move in, and we get to look at our whole life. We get to visit the temple of our memory. And we realize if we're wise, so I say arise and be wise, is that time is stretchable. That if we think we had this experience, I mean, often we don't want to look back on our lives because we think it was painful and it was awful, and I don't want to go there again. The past is past. But if we realize time is stretchable and it's multidirectional, we can start to harvest those experiences. In other words, harvest our life experiences, and we can reframe them, and we can understand the gift that was in those experiences and what we learned. And that's how wisdom develops. So I just see harvesting our life as, just a really beautiful thing to be able to do, to visit the temple of our memories. And it's like there's a phrase in the Bible that says, you sowed so much but reaped so little in Haggai. And it's like we had the experience, but we missed the meaning. We had all these experiences in life, but we were rushing through them. So we missed the meaning of them. And so and that's not a term that came up with me, Reb Zalman. There was a lot of people writing about this age as, and poets, as a time of ripening. And even as a time where the soul begins to emerge. The part of us, yeah, the body wanes, but the soul waxes. I love that phrase. That's what's his name? Anam Cara, John O'Donohue. The body wanes, but the soul waxes. And that in midlife, as we start coming into this crone age, the soul, our life purpose, what we really came here to do. And see, Jung says, we spent the first half of our life putting the mask on. We spend the second half of our life taking it off.
Gosh,
So.
yeah. That's so true, isn't it? I really love this language that you're sh bringing into to this and sharing with us today. It's so rich, and understanding that inner harvest as revisiting and taking out the gold from our life experiences, which we might, we might want to say, oh, the past is the past, and I don't want to revisit there again because it's gone. But that is missing the wisdom that's contained therein. And it's also a denial of all the different, so varied experiences we've been through in our lives. I mean, if we haven't learned from our life experiences, or if we don't want to actually explore them to see what those gifts are within it, then I think we're missing an amazing opportunity. And I love how you've said that this is how wisdom emerges. And yeah, because often, we have these conversations about do we feel wise and am I a wise woman? And we say, well, don't really feel that. It doesn't apply to me. I like the term, but I don't feel I have any wisdom. And you're giving us a brilliant way to actually unearth the wisdom that is, it has been in our life. And I love how you talk about time as well, just bringing it also that it's not just linear, it's much more fluid or complex than this, and we have access to it. So that way as well, we can tap into emotions perhaps as well of the past and really reap the gold in that as well.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I mean, and Socrates said, remember, he said, the unexamined life is not worth living.
Oh,
The
yeah.
unexamined life is not worth living. And then it was Schopenhauer, who said later, the unlived life is not worth examining. So we have an unexamined life is not worth living, and then an unlived life is not worth examining. So, yeah, you caught it really well. Thank you. You really said, and the gold that is, there's, I have this poem on the very, very back, autumn. I hope I can be the autumn leaf who looked at the sky and lived. And when it was time to leave gracefully, it knew life was a gift. Do you want to hear that again?
Yes, please. Yeah.
I hope I can be the autumn leaf who looked at the sky and lived. And when it was time to leave gracefully, it knew life was a gift.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And I think that's why we want to examine our life, why we want to take the time. Because another author said we could live for a certain amount of time and spend the rest of our life in solitary confinement and still not have harvested or, been able to look at all of the experiences we had. And so that other gift of harvesting and how we can gather wisdom is stillness, is to actually take time to be still, to sit alone in a room by ourselves and watch the thoughts that come and watch the images and watch the memories. I was doing that right before we came because I don't know why in my meditation this morning, when I was eight, things came up, and 8 years old was a really tough time for me. And I was going, why? Why? And then all of these things I started to remember happened. So, I think it's valuable because that's how we whole, and that's how we unify all the broken parts of our life. When we harvest our life, we can start to tie all those pieces together and they make meaning.
And what's really coming up for me here is this that we can reflect upon our life when we're younger as well, upon our experiences. And it's not to invalidate the reflections that we have then, but it seems to me that there's a different quality in this part of our life, in that reflection. It's like perhaps our values have changed somewhat, or we've made more peace with ourselves, or I'm not quite sure what it is, but personally, I can say that I have noticed really over the last few years, not before, but over the last few years, I've noticed sort of like a mellowing in my own relationship with myself, I would say, which enables me to be kinder to myself and not to be so judgmental about you haven't done this, you haven't done that. It's And it's also connected to, somehow it's connected to the rhythms of nature and that sort of that deep wisdom that, things will keep on moving regardless of my ego and what I think should happen. And who am I to actually, try to work at a certain make life happen at a certain pace. It's like there's something different that has been happening, and I feel that this can enable us to have a different perspective on our reflections of our life experiences.
That's really beautiful. And I think that's soul. Yeah, I think that that's our soul emerging because the soul loves beauty and the soul loves quiet and the soul loves nature and it loves, the deeper richness of. So yeah, that. And we can miss that. I'm really glad to hear you say that because I think we can miss that subtle shift and go, oh, I need to keep doing, or I need to keep, instead of moving into that, like, I mean, most of us, if we were mothers, we won't then think grandmothers, but matriarch is a whole different, it's a whole different, it's not just continuing motherhood, and aging isn't just continuing, trying to recover our youth.
Yeah,
So
and many women, were not mothers in biological sense, and so, life can't be just about that, because the matriarchal period is like, it seems so powerful. And what a rich experience for us all to have as well. It's not just about recovering from, like you say, from being biological mothers. It's so much more than that, our life, and so just so powerful. I just wanted to ask you one last thing though about croning being creative, because it seems like the reflective element and the harvesting the wisdom and the stillness, and then there's this other energy, this creative energy. So how can we understand that?
Yeah, I think that wow, it just takes me back to the notion of the female life cycle and menstruation, which you talked about last time, and hot flashes. Sometimes women have looked at that like power surges. Instead of hot flashes, they're power surges that are moving us into this fire of our life. Because I do think there's a lot of heat that happens in this age. And when we ask that question, when we're turning 40 and coming into our 50s, what's it all about? Is this really all there is? And so that be taking the mask, it all, to me, it's all tied in with taking the mask off. And because we all came here, we all have a gift, right? We all have a particular gift to give, and it doesn't have to be a great big huge one. And so what is the medicine we give out to the world? And at this stage in our life, we're fully ready to do that. We've done with childbearing, we're done maybe with work. We're really ready to, and that what's what I was going to say. The first withholding of the blood in a woman's life is to have children. The second withholding of the blood in a woman's life is to create wisdom, or is to create a life that she really wants to live. And so yeah, I kind of feel like it's tied in with that soul emerging and our life purpose really being able to come to fruition because we've learned all the skills now. We've learned a life is has thrown a lot of shit at us, and it's also shown a lot of goodness. So now we can balance that, and we can create, and find the people to create with us. I mean, it's really what you said before about isolation. You know that Beatles song, "All the Lonely People, Where Do They All Come From?" It breaks my heart every time I hear it, because the power of women gathering like this is, it's immeasurable. You know, and the stories that we have to tell each other are just incredible, and we learn from each other. So creativity is going to be a different thing, I think, for everyone. But you know, some of the greatest scientists and philosophers, this creativity didn't come until this point of their life, because they didn't get so, like you said, so frustrated with ourselves, and we were kinder, and so we made a mistake. So what? I'll go make another one.
And I got thrills actually, chills, not thrills. Well, both. When you were saying all of that, because I just imagined the thought came in. Imagine if all the women, like 50 plus, or let's just go with that because that's kind of roughly our age group, if we all just created the life that we really want, how totally revolutionary would that be in the world? It would be amazing, especially if we are bringing in wisdom as well to that. Wow.